Hello and welcome to our weekly reflections on Sunday's liturgy. Today we have before us the third Sunday of Lent. In his memoirs, Mahatma Gandhi, the father of the Indian nation, humbly and frankly acknowledges that when he was 15, he stole a little piece of gold from his brother. A few days later, he felt very guilty and decided to come clean by confessing to his father. So he took a paper, admitted his fault, sincerely asked his father for forgiveness, and promised never to repeat the offense. Taking that note to the bedroom of his father, the young Gandhi found him ill in bed. Very timidly, he handed the note to his father without saying a word. His father sat up in bed and began reading the note. As he read it, the senior Gandhi was so deeply moved by the honesty, sincerity, and courage of his son that tears began to stream from his eyes. This so touched the son that he burst into tears as well. Instinctively, both father and son wrapped their arms around each other and wordlessly shared their mutual admiration and joy. This notable experience made such an impact on Gandhi that years later he would say, "Only the person who has experienced this kind of forgiving love can know what it is." This precisely is what happened when the repentant prodigal son returned home. Such is God's merciful forgiveness and benevolent love for all who resolutely turn over a new leaf, especially during this Lenten season. Today's readings speak of God's mercy and compassion in disciplining His children and in giving them a second chance in spite of their repeated sins. Although God's love for us is constant and consistent, He will not save us without a cooperation. That is why He invites us during Lent to repent of our sins and to renew our lives by producing fruits of love, compassion, forgiveness, and faithful service. The first reading tells us how God shows His mercy to His own chosen people by choosing Moses as their leader and liberator. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob reveals Himself to Moses from the burning bush and assures Moses of His divine presence with His people and of His awareness of their sufferings in Egypt. He declares His intention of using Moses as the leader who will rescue His enslaved people. Then He renews the promise He made to the patriarchs to give them a land flowing with milk and honey. The second reading warns us that our merciful God is also a disciplining God. Paul reminds the Christians of Corinth that they must learn from the sad experience of the Israelites who were punished for their sins by a merciful but just God. The merciful and gracious God is also just and demanding, and hence they must be free from sexual sins and idolatry. In today's Gospel, citing two tragic events, Jesus exhorts the Jews to repent and reform their lives. With the parable of the barren fig tree, He also warns them that the merciful God will not put up with them indefinitely. Although God patiently waits for sinners to repent, giving them grace to do so, He will not wait forever. Time may run out. Therefore, timely repentance is necessary. Hence, a Lent missed is a year lost from the spiritual life. Jesus uses two local tragedies to teach us about the need of repentance and of a renewal of life. The slaughter of the Galileans by Pilate, recorded in today's Gospel reading, is unknown outside Luke's Gospel. But the Jewish historian Josephus reports how Pilate disrupted a religious gathering of Samaritans on Mount Gerizim with the slaughter of the participants. On another occasion, Pilate killed many Galilean Jews who protested when he appropriated money from the temple treasury to build an aqueduct in Jerusalem in order to obtain a better water supply for the pilgrims. But Luke presents these two real incidents as one tragedy which occurred in the temple premises. Even though it was Pilate who commanded the atrocity to be carried out, the natural assumption at the time was to think that the victims were particularly guilty and must have somehow deserved it. Jesus proceeds to connect His warning to another episode, namely what appears to have been an accident related to the renovation work of the control tower of the water supply scheme at Siloam, in which 18 people died. The Jews interpreted this tragedy as God's punishment of the workers who had cooperated with Pilate in His sacrilegious aqueduct project. Jesus denies that either the Galileans or the 18 people suffered because of their sins, but calls his listeners to repent lest they suffer for theirs. In fact, he presents both these incidents as timely reminders of the need for all to repent. We know that tragic events can occur randomly, as in the cases of the Galileans and the 18 Jerusalemites, and have nothing to do with the guilt or innocence of the victims. For example, a tornado that destroys a nightclub also destroys a church. An earthquake or a tsunami kills the saints as well as the sinners in the affected area. Drunk drivers kill innocent people. Religious fanatics, terrorists, and suicide bombers cause the untimely death of good as well as of bad people. Violent people, with or without provocation, injure their loved ones. Only a few of us will have a burning bush experience, but all of us have struggled to understand why tragedy seems to befall innocent people. What we need is to trust in divine mercy, believing that God is with us and God is on our side, even in those situations we cannot explain. Jesus' life is the clearest evidence that a person's suffering is not proof of that person's sin. While sin can lead to tragedy, not every tragedy is the result of sin. Teshuvah was the key concept in the rabbinic view of sin, repentance, and forgiveness. The Jewish rabbis taught that repentance required five elements: recognition of one's sin as sin, remorse for having committed the sin, desisting from repeating the sin, restitution for the damage done by the sin where possible, and confession. In fact, Jesus invited his Jewish listeners to such repentance. Repent implies not just regret for the past, but a radical conversion and a complete change in our way of life as we respond and open ourselves to the love of God. Repentance, or a turning away from one path to another, is not so much finding God as being found by God. On the one hand, Jesus informs us that those who do not repent will perish. On the other hand, he tells us a parable about the patience of God. The fig tree is considered as a symbol of the people of Israel, and this parable is perhaps meant to indicate that Jesus will work on the Jews for a little while longer before cutting them off as a lost case and opening the kingdom wholeheartedly to the Gentiles. Through this parable, believers are reminded of the patience of a God who is willing to give sinners chance after chance to reform their lives and to seek reconciliation. Even when sinners waste or refuse those chances, God in his mercy allows still more opportunities for them to repent. And just as the farmer tended the barren fig tree with special care, so God affords sinners whatever graces they need to leave their sinful ways behind and return to God's love and embrace. Divine grace is expressed as justice with compassion and judgment with mercy. But we cannot continue to draw strength and sustenance from God without producing fruit. God does not tolerate this type of spiritual barrenness. Messages for life do we get from today's liturgy? First of all, we need to live lives of repentance because we never know when we will meet a tragedy of our own. Let us turn to Christ, acknowledge our faults and failings, and receive from him mercy, forgiveness, and the promise of eternal life. There is no better way to take these words of Jesus to heart than to go to sacramental confession, and there is no better time to go to confession than during Lent. Also, repentance helps us in life and in death. It helps us to live as forgiven people and helps us to face death without fear. Secondly, we need to be fruitful trees in God's orchard. Lent is an ideal time to dig around and manure the tree of our life so that it may bring forth fruits of repentance, reconciliation, forgiveness, and sensitivity to the feelings of others. Finally, we need to make the best use of the second chance God gives us. Our merciful Father always gives us a second chance. During Lent, we too are given another chance to repent and return to our Heavenly Father's love. There is a story of how King Frederick II, an 18th century king of Prussia, was visiting a prison in Berlin. He was going from inmate to inmate, and every one of them was trying to prove how they had been unjustly imprisoned. They all proclaimed their innocence except one. That one prisoner was sitting quietly in a corner while all the rest protested their innocence. Seeing him sitting there oblivious to everything else that was going on, the king walked over to him and said, "Son, why are you in here?" He said, "Armed robbery, Your Honor." The king said, "Are you guilty?" He said, "Sire, I am guilty, and I deserve to be here." The king then gave an order to the guard and said, "Release this guilty man. I do not want this man corrupting all these other innocent people."